As we get started this morning, I'm not going to be very long, but I wanted to just share with you a thought that I had. Recently, one good thing that's happened to me is my wife and I, we got to take a little vacation up north to Wisconsin, to Door County, Wisconsin. And we got to take our little guy, Maverick. It was our first kind of family trip, family outing that wasn't to the hospital in St. Louis, even though those are fun days. And so I was just very grateful, given the circumstances of how he was born, what could have been with his health. We were able to have a wonderful vacation. We were able to go outside and enjoy the fall colors. And I just want to thank God for that, because I had a great time. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to take my little boy out, because things could be a lot worse. And so I just praise God for that. But one of the places that we went is one of my favorite places to go to, and that is Cana Island Lighthouse. Has anybody ever been there before? It is a lighthouse at the very, towards the top of the little peninsula that juts out into Lake Michigan, and this is a picture of it on the screen. But Cana Island is, it's an island that you can access. It's a shallow walk across, or sometimes you have to take a tractor across. But the lighthouse has 97 steps in it. And Maverick and I was able to strap him to my chest and walk up the 97 steps. And there's a picture of the steps. They're very narrow. They are not for the faint of heart. But we were able to walk up those steps all the way up to the top. It was a little breathtaking physically, right? Not just visually, but it was breathtaking. It was quite the trek. We made it up to the top. There's a picture of the top. Now, this is not me at the top. I didn't bring my drone with me that day. But it's a beautiful view, and I was just grateful to be able to take him up there. But I was started to think about the journey up there and the journey of life, the journey of my life, of my son's life, of my wife's life. And I started to think about those steps, those 97 steps. And I started to think about how impactful me walking up those steps to something that may seem insignificant to the rest of you, that may seem not important, but to me, to be able to walk up those steps with the miracle of my son strapped to my chest was a testament to God's faithfulness in this life and this journey that we're on, this Christian walk that we're on. And maybe you have steps in your life that you are trying to get up. Maybe they are steps that are taking your breath away physically. Maybe you're walking through something and you're going through the steps of life, and sometimes it seems laborious to get to where God wants you to go. There's another very popular monument and statue called Christ the Redeemer, which stands towering atop the 2,310-foot summit of the Corcovado Mountain overlooking the entire region of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And this magnificent statue was built between 1922 and 1931. And for over 70 years, visitors could only reach the summit by climbing the 220-step staircase. Now, this lighthouse, you can take that picture down, was 97 steps, and the Christ Redeemer statue is 220 steps. So you can imagine the physical toll it must have taken to get there. But in 2003, officials installed a series of escalators and elevators. How many of you are thankful for escalators and elevators? And the mission of Mercy made the journey easier for the elderly, disabled, and any exercise-challenged guests to reach the top. With these measures in place, the volume of visitors grew from 3 million to over 10 million visitors a year at this statue. But in April 8th of 2019, they had 2 months of rainfall that fell on Rio de Janeiro for 9 hours, and the impact, the floods, and the mudslides that followed resulted in the tragic loss of life and property. However, another unexpected outcome of that devastating storm was it disabled the elevators and escalators for about 7 months, making it difficult for many people to reach the top. Even though the iconic image stood with arms stretched wide as if to welcome all who may wish to visit, Christ the Redeemer was out of reach for many. Our life is a journey. Everyone say a journey. It's a series of steps, if you will, this morning. It's a series of obstacles, a series of climbing over things to get to your next step, as Pastor Jordan preaches about. And there's going to be times when we feel that we are close to God, that we're living on top, we're living on the mountain. There's going to be times where we feel maybe we're distant from God and we're in a low place of our life. But understand that we have to embrace the journey and we have to endure the journey. Everyone say endure. Endure the journey. And this morning, for just a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about Paul. We've been talking about Paul in our Sunday school classes next door in the book of Romans. But I want to talk about Paul's journey from Damascus to Rome and enduring the journey this morning. The context of the Apostle Paul's life was that he was, the Bible says, a Jew of Jews. He was scholarly. He was well-educated. He was renowned. But he was also a persecutor of Christians. And he finds himself in this peculiar situation in that he thought that he was pleasing the Lord through his knowledge, through his education, through his renown, and through his persecution of the people of the way, of Christians. And we find him in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus in verse 3. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him in to Damascus. This was the beginning of Paul's spiritual journey with Christ. This was the inception of his spiritual life in Jesus. You see, he had a past, just like we all do. He made mistakes. He did awful things that probably are more awful than many of the things that we have done. But he had a past, and this was the inception of his walk with Christ. And we can fast forward to the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 as he finds himself a prisoner, as he finds himself in the captivity of Romans. And he says in verse 6, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so we find this situation in Scripture where we can read the inception of Paul's journey, of his spiritual journey through life in Damascus. And then we can fast forward to the end when he is in Rome and he is prisoner, he's captive. His life is probably not what we would ever want to find ourselves in. And maybe you're not on a Damascus to Rome journey today. Maybe you won't have to go through the same types of obstacles that Paul went through. But you have a journey of your own. You can go back to the inception of your spiritual walk with the Lord. And you are destined to go and end up somewhere. And can we say this morning the words of Paul that I have kept the faith? I have fought the good fight. And this morning, I just want to speak a word of encouragement. Don't give up. Don't quit now. Because God wants to take you somewhere. And he wants to make you into something greater than you could ever imagine and hope for yourself. One of the things that Paul talks about in his life that was key for his spiritual journey was contentment. He was content in all things. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 10, I have learned to be content where whatever the circumstances. I know what is not to be in need and what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. You see, Paul understood both joy and suffering. But one thing that he delineated differently than maybe you and I is that there is joy in suffering. You see, a lot of times we like to look at our life and the situations of our life as either good or bad. There's nothing wrong with that. We can go through and list the things that have happened in our lives, the circumstances that have led us here today, and say that was a good thing or that was a bad thing. But Paul teaches us that there is joy in suffering. There is joy. You can find joy and purpose in every single thing that happens to you, because there is not a thing that's happened to you that God was not in. God ordains every aspect of our lives because he is sovereign, the Bible teaches us. And so whatever it is that you think has happened in your life that's been bad or has been good, there is a purpose and a plan for that. No thing goes undone without God's hand and without his sovereign hand over that thing. And Paul teaches us to have joy in our suffering. Amen. There's a book that I've been reading called Why I Love the Apostle Paul. And in the book, he outlines three things that I want to share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to read this directly from the book. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." We have burdens. We have things that drag us down that we despair in our life. And sometimes we despair life itself, Paul says. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." And so the author of this book points out three things that are remarkable in this scripture. First is the severity of our suffering, or of his suffering, rather. It says that we felt that we had received the sentence of death. Maybe you felt that way in your life before. Maybe you felt that you have been given the circumstances that you just can't seem to get over, you can't seem to get through, and you feel like that God has placed you on a sentence of death. That's what Paul said that he felt like. And in this situation, he finds himself a prisoner. He finds himself captive. He finds himself inevitably a prisoner of death. And so the first thing that is pointed out is sometimes the severity of our suffering, it can be great. But the second thing is that there is purpose and there is design in our suffering. Because the scripture says that suffering was to make us rely not on ourselves, but God who raises the dead. You see, if we can't find ourselves reaching and grasping and hoping and praying to God in our hour of need, then are we going to be delivered? If we can't get to the place where we say, "God, I can't make it through this trial without you. I can't continue to walk these steps. I can't continue to walk this journey of life without you carrying me." And so whatever it is that we feel like we're going through in life, God has designed and he has a purpose for that suffering. We may not understand it right now. "God, why do these things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why did I lose that person? Why did I go through that thing?" And I know lately a lot of things have been happening in our lives that it's easy to question. But there is a purpose and there is a design for our suffering. And Paul says it's so that we will rely on God, the one who can raise the dead. "Let me never take for granted the blessings that God has given me in my life. Because whenever I go through a trial and I go through suffering of life, I can call out to God and say, 'Lord, I know you've done it before, as Brother Baker said, and I know that you can do it again.'" And so our present suffering is for a purpose. Know that. Trust in that word, because God wants to take you to a new place. He wants to make you a new person. We're going to come out on the other side of this suffering and look back and say, "Man, God did that for a reason." We all have testimonies. In my life, in my wife's life, I can testify. My wife had two miscarriages. And our third try, we obviously had Maverick and we had complications there. But I can look back now and say, "God, thank you for the suffering. because you have brought this miracle into my life that I am now more grateful for than I ever would have been previously. And so our suffering changes us, it challenges us, and it makes us into new people to understand the purpose of God. The third purpose, the third point of this scripture is that the purpose was God's purpose. The purpose was God's purpose for Paul's suffering because it could not have been Satan's, since Satan certainly does not want Paul to rely on God. A lot of times we like to give the devil too much credit for what we're facing in our life. But maybe God is allowing you to go through this thing because he has a purpose for it. He wants to get credit for what he does for you. He wants to show himself to you and for you and through you. Not only to you, but to others. Because I have a testimony. You have a testimony that you can tell somebody else and say, look what God has done for me. So our present suffering, a lot of times, it's not the devil's doing. It's God testing us and challenging us and saying, hey, you're going to grow from this. You're going to get better from this. And you've got to rely on me, and I will make a way where there seems to be no way. I will give you healing. I will give you deliverance. I will set you free from your captivity. And I will change you, and I will show you my purpose for your life. Paul also says in Romans 5:3 that we rejoice in sufferings. What does that mean? God, I don't understand why. I don't understand how. I don't understand when this trial is going to be over, but I can rejoice because I know you have a plan and you have a purpose for me. He also says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The Bible says to walk by faith and not by sight. Paul tells us to lean not on our own understanding. And so when you find yourself in a situation of life that you don't understand, you don't know why this has happened, lean on the one who has the answer. Lean on the one who has the purpose. And my message to you today is a word of encouragement. Don't give up. Don't quit now. You're walking this road. You're walking this life. You're on this journey. Don't stop now. Keep going. Keep fighting. Keep journeying to where God wants to take you and let him carry you there. Lean not on your own understanding. Walk by faith and not by sight. There's multiple different examples throughout history, throughout our lives, that we can look back and see a journey from one place to the next. I think back through history, we just celebrated Veterans Day. And I can think about the soldiers that arrived on the beaches of Normandy and France, not knowing what would happen, not knowing if their life would be guaranteed within the next 30 seconds as the walls of the boats dropped and they ran onto the shore. But we can look back and read about several men who journeyed from Normandy that made it through the winters of France, that made it through the trials, that made it through the bullets, the danger, the death, the disease. And they made it through France, and they made it to the end. They made it to Berlin, Germany, where eventually the war was won. We can look through history and find examples in Alabama, in Selma, where we find men and women that were standing up for social injustice, and that we can follow their journey from Selma to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and we can see their journey. We can look back in our own lives and we can see the journey that we're on. We can see Paul's journey from Damascus to Rome. And we can look back and see our spiritual inception and look towards where God is wanting to take us. But the only journey that's going to get you there is the journey from a manger to the cross. Understanding what God did for us is the key to our contentment. Understanding that this journey of life is just temporary. That sometimes we're going to fall, we're going to stumble, we're going to get mad at our friends, at our neighbors, we're going to be sick, we're going to lose loved ones. But we can look to the journey to the cross for our ultimate salvation and the only thing that we need to get us by. And so this morning, as we come to a close, I just want to challenge us and myself this morning. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever emotions that you're dealing with today, leave it at the cross today, because God has already won the victory for you. You see, you don't have to carry that burden alone. Jesus carried the cross up Golgotha Hill where he was crucified so that you don't have to carry it alone. And so whatever it is that you're facing, understand that God wants to take you somewhere. He wants to lead you and guide you and take you by the hand and say, Brother Zelke, I've got plans for you. You see, you're not to Rome yet. You're still walking. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. You're still walking this journey. And God still has plans for you because you still have value. You still have value in the kingdom of God. And he wants to use you. He has plans for you. He has a purpose for you. And so my message this morning is don't quit. Endure the journey and let God take you there. In Jesus' name, let's stand this morning.